Hello, and welcome to the Major Gifts Fundraiser Podcast. I'm Monica Van Deventer. Let me tell you a little bit about the tribe we're building here at Major Gifts Fundraiser. We're working with people like you who want to be among the very best in this field. You want to accomplish great things. You want to challenge yourself. You want to grow, and you are up for going on a journey because you know a journey is what it takes to become the very best version of yourself. You're listening to this podcast because you know that in order to be a great fundraiser, you have to spend time thinking about how you'll be a great fundraiser. You can learn more about our new online training programs at majorgiftsfundraiser.com. And without further ado, here's Clark.
Buenos dias, mis amigos. Clark Van Deventer here from Major Gifts Fundraiser. Hope that you are having a great day. All right. I have mentioned this on the podcast before, but all right. First of all, I'm going to back up. Discipline Clark. My wife tells me, and I'm going to be talking about this today a little bit. My wife tells me that I back up too much in my stories, but will you humor me for a moment? I love running. Love it. But as you may have heard me talk about on the podcast, in September, visiting a client, I broke my ankle. And it's not just the recovery from the broken ankle, it's the tendons, it's the ligaments, and it has been a tough recovery, and I miss running. I have gone on a few runs. I'm not sure that's the smartest thing for me to do. I'm able to walk pretty much okay for the most part. But in February, I tested my ankle with some beach runs. I thought the beach would be good. I did two consecutive 1 mile days. And then in March, I did a couple of 2 or 3 mile runs on not pavement, so not hard pavement, also not like really rocky or rooty trails, just like soft single track. I'm backing up too much, but I love running, not just because of the physical thing that happens. The movie Chariots of Fire, there's this line in it where he says, I love this line, it's one of my all-time favorite movie lines, when I run, I feel his pleasure. That's how I feel about running. That's what I miss. I miss that feeling more than I miss running. All right, now I'm getting to my point. I'm getting closer to my point for today. Last year for Father's Day, my family gave me the bones of a home gym. We took a room in our house that was basically unused. We converted it. They converted it for me to a gym. And then we just kept adding to it. For Christmas, they got me a TV for the gym. And then at the start of the new year, I bought myself a subscription to MasterClass. And that's what I have talked about on this podcast. I've mentioned it, right? I've mentioned MasterClass on this podcast in some recent episodes. I can't imagine I wouldn't have because I'm obsessed with it. I bought the premium subscription so that my whole family would have access to MasterClass. I was like, I don't want anyone in my family to not have access to this. But you can buy the basic subscription for $180, which just do it. And look, no kickbacks here, obviously. So for $180 for a year, you get access to this incredible library of courses. Such a no-brainer. So far this year, I have taken courses on. I took a course called Intentional Eating with Michael Pollan. That was excellent. Again, I'm working more on my diet, and it's like, how do I make sure that I maintain good physical fitness? I make sure I maintain good physical fitness by giving attention to things that relate to my physical fitness. I took a course on presidential leadership with Doris Kearns Goodwin. That was excellent. So much stuff in there. There's something that she shared in that course that I've been sharing with clients, which is a quote from Teddy Roosevelt. When faced with a decision, the best thing to do is to make a good decision. The second best thing to do is to make a poor decision. And the worst thing to do is to make no decision. or I took a course on disruptive entrepreneurship with Sir Richard Branson. That was also excellent. But I just completed on Sunday morning, I just completed Purposeful Communication, or a Purposeful Communication with George Stephanopoulos. All right, again, for me, this has been such, okay, and here's why I do this. So I miss running, but for me, there was more than a physical benefit to running. There was a mental benefit. I would say that running for me is self-care. It's not just a physical gain. There's a mental gain. So for me to have my home gym, it was not enough. I couldn't just be in my gym and work on my physical body. I needed to get more like bang for my buck in terms of my time or my money or whatever. So I had to add the TV to my gym. And I was like, for me, the gym is now like, it's where I work out my body, but it's also where I work out my mind. And it's not just what I'm learning. Maybe that's true for you with this podcast. I think a lot of times it's not so much what you're learning. I'm like, you may know this stuff. The stuff I talk about on this podcast, you may already know. I'm just reminding you. I think that's in a lot of ways what a good teacher does. A good teacher doesn't teach you something new. A good teacher, especially a good coach, reminds you of what you already know. It brings you back to what you already know. And yes, I am learning from these people because they're masters. I was especially learning from Michael Pollan. Like, he was going into stuff I really did not know. I've studied a lot of presidential history and presidential leadership. Doris Kearns Goetz was reminding me of stuff. I've read lots of books on entrepreneurship or communication. So in a lot of ways, Sir Richard Branson or George Stephanopoulos were reminding me of stuff. But of course, I have stuff to learn from them. But they've just been excellent for getting the wheels turning, for challenging me. And I hope that in a lot of ways, that's what this podcast does for you. But, all right, I'm watching George Stephanopoulos the other night. And I was like, I have got to share this on the podcast. So George Stephanopoulos, you may know him as the co-host of Good Morning America. He's been a co-host of Good Morning America for several years, more than a decade. Now, Good Morning America, like, no offense to Good Morning America, GMA, like, it's kind of fluff TV. It's light news, and nothing wrong with it. It's fun. It has its place. Like, this isn't, you know, hard-hitting journalism. But for a number of years, if ABC has had a big interview, like, if there's a big interview that they're going to have on ABC for several years, it's George Stephanopoulos who has done that interview. He's been with ABC since he left the Clinton White House. He served as deputy campaign manager for Bill Clinton when he ran for U.S. president. He was in the inner circle of the Clinton White House, and he is a great interviewer. And coming from that political background, he had to work hard and still has to work hard to make sure he's not accused of bias, especially when he is interviewing members of the Republican Party, since his background is in Democratic politics. But he has interviewed every president since the first President Bush and done loads of other high-profile interviews, both short and in-depth. And as I watched his masterclass, I thought, like, all my clients need to watch this. Every fundraiser needs to watch this. And I was talking with my wife about this, and just viewing a donor meeting as an interview, that alone is worth thinking about. Think about, just start using that term. Like, instead of saying I have a donor meeting, say I have a donor interview. Just think about that for a minute. So I always call them visits. I got that from my mentor, the late, great Jerry Panis. Jerry was big on calling them visits, not meetings. So we call a donor, we want to schedule a visit. We don't say, I want to schedule a meeting. We want to schedule a visit. Now, I'm not sure you want to start calling your donors and suggesting you want to interview them. But internally, thinking about a donor meeting, a donor visit as an interview is not a bad thing. Because a meeting, you may think you need to meet with a donor to transmit information to them. But I would rather you think about it as an interview, because what you really need to do is go in there and learn. You need to learn about the donor, learn what's important to the donor. So you're going to do that by asking questions. By the way, now that I think about it, we actually do schedule donor interviews. So one of the things we often do for clients, sometimes we do this as a one-off service, but often it's part of a Development 365. So it's one of the things we're going to do with a client as we go through the process of working with them over the course of a year. But we do these little micro campaigns. And as part of that process, we do reach out to donors, not just donors, but also like the biggest fans of an organization, like their superstar fans on social media and things like that. We'll reach out to an organization's biggest donors and biggest fans, and we will say, we want to interview you. So that's actually an example of saying to our donors, I want to interview you. Anyway, I have a few modules from this course from George Stephanopoulos that you as a fundraiser would particularly benefit from. So we're going to talk about doing your preparation, right? That's a module in this course. Time management is another one of his modules. And using body language in donor meetings. Maybe some other stuff will come up. And in the course, in watching this course on purposeful communication, George walks through the process of preparing for a presidential interview. And it's a crazy process. And it is the process you should be going through as you prepare to meet with your donors. Now, you may think that is a bit of overkill, and I'm telling you that it is not, because just as important as that Joe Biden or that Donald Trump interview is for George Stephanopoulos, the donor meeting that you have today, that meeting is just as important to you. And I find that way too many development officers are just winging it. They are just showing up and seeing what happens. So he's going to go into the interview with the president knowing everything he can. All right, for him, that's reading everything. He's going to read past interviews that the president has given, past speeches. He's going to read up on the topics that the interview is going to cover. That would be on top of the foundation he has already been laying for a long time, as he has a daily routine where he is constantly staying up on the news. All right, so you should have that kind of daily routine or weekly routine or regular routine where whatever field you're in, you're staying up to date. Like if you work in international relief and development, you should be in the know. You should know about other organizations in your field. You should know what the trends are. You should know the buzzwords that people are using these days. What are people saying? What are the big books that are out there that are shaping your field? And that's the ongoing stuff that we need to have that kind of preparation in our daily or weekly diet. But going into your donor meeting, you prep. You go in knowing everything you possibly can about your donor. You would certainly know their giving history. You would have Googled them. Now, I can't tell you how many donors I have Googled and found nothing. But it would be really, I'd feel really silly going into a meeting for a donor I hadn't Googled, and there was all sorts of information that was publicly available about them. If you're working for an organization that's community-based, where donors are all in one community, if you had a meeting with someone for the first time, you would ask around about this person that you're about to meet with. You want to know everything you can about them going in. But the bigger point is, all right, prep. Do all that prep work. Know everything you can. Know the giving history. And that's why our pre-meeting checklist that we have, that we give to our clients, we give to you, I can email you a copy, is we have on there, like, the pre-visit checklist includes, like, what's their giving history? We're just prompting you in some of this basic stuff you better have made sure that you cover before you go into that meeting. The bigger point beyond this, though, is defining your objective. And Stephanopoulos is really strong on this. Define your objective. What is the objective? So each course on Masterclass comes with a course guide. So this is not unsimilar to the challenge questions or the action steps or the supplemental materials that we have as part of our courses, Peak Performance Fundraising or the Noble Call of Fundraising. But in the guide for this course, all right, I've got it open right here. This is from the course guide. It says, no matter the conversation, think like a detective. What information is absolutely essential? For George, that sometimes means whittling down a stack of questions, eliminating any queries that he could do without. When preparing for an interview with the president, for example, George reads transcripts of every recent interview. Then he works with his direct staff, as well as ABC's political teams, to get a sense of how they believe the president should be held to account in the upcoming exchange. In the end, he comes up with around 5 questions that are essential to the integrity of the interview, what George calls must-dos. All right, the takeaway, whether you have 15 minutes to chat with someone or an entire afternoon, set objectives for your talk and then try your hardest to stick to them. Okay, this is so important. Now, you may not be holding your donor to account the way George Stephanopoulos is going to do that with the president, but you are trying to move a conversation forward. And you do that by asking strategic questions. And by the way, if you have not gotten a copy of my strategic questions, right, you should email me and I will give you a copy. But all right, now this is another aside. Going through this course, George gave me a great question to add to my quiver. And this is the first time, like, this should be its own podcast. First time I've added a question to my list of strategic questions in a long time. It's a one-word question. And, all right, that's the question. That's it. And this is similar to another phrase that I love, and this should be another podcast, tell me more. Monica just shared an article with me about tell me more. Tell me more is one of my favorite things to say in a meeting with a donor. A donor answers a question or says something to me, and I'm just like, oh, that's fascinating. Tell me more. And is similar, right? Your donor answers a question. They say something to you and you just say, and? All right, so, back to preparation. In preparation for an interview, for you, right, a donor visit, Stephanopoulos talks about imagining the dialogue. So you're going to ask this question. When I am helping development officers prepare for meetings, we'll come with 2 or 3 or maybe 4 strategic questions that we view as essential to this meeting. Like, these are the next questions that we need to ask to move this conversation, this relationship forward. And then we'll imagine the dialogue. Like, what are we going to say? So we're going to ask this question. Well, if I ask this question, what are the 2 or 3 potential likely responses to that question? All right, let's take, we got potential response A, potential response B, potential response C. Let's play these out. Like, if they say A, where do we go from there? If they say B, how do we pivot? If they say C, like, what would be our reaction? What would be our next question? So This is imagining the dialogue. So then when you've done that prep work, once you have prepped, now you get to be in the moment. And he talks about, so George Stephanopoulos talks about prepping for an interview with Donald Trump. The interview is going to happen, I think he said at like 6 p.m. that night in the Oval Office. But they were at the White House that morning at like 9 o'clock in the morning, and they were just there to get some B-roll. They're going to walk around with President Trump for 5 minutes and get some B-roll of him like pointing at this painting or pointing at this knickknack and talking, right? Previewing the interview, or B-roll. But he's in the moment, and he realizes the president's talking. Like, the interview is happening now. He's opening up. And because he's prepped, he's ready to seize that opportunity. All right, now this could happen to you. All right, so you have a donor meeting with your donor scheduled for next Tuesday. And maybe you haven't prepped for it yet. Or maybe you have. Oh, you're smart. You're prepared. All right, you've prepped for this interview already, for this meeting, right? And you're at an event for another organization, and there's a reception, and your donor is there at that reception for that other organization. And you end up having that meeting, that visit, that interview while standing at a cocktail table at this reception. And because you're prepped, you can now be in the moment. You could do the meeting right there. And you'll actually still have that meeting next Tuesday, but you'll advance the ball even further down the field. All right, there's also a module on time management that I really believe every development officer needs to watch. Most development officers in donor visits are really bad at time management. They think they have all day, and maybe you are willing to spend all day, and you think you're serving your donor and you're being available by being willing to spend all day. You have to have an internal clock. And you have to have that internal clock and know, I have to get through my questions. And learning from someone like George Stephanopoulos, who is doing this, the longest time he would ever have for a presidential interview would be 20, maybe 30 or 35 minutes. For this week, the ABC show this week, he would have 6, 8, or 12 minutes. On Good Morning America, he would have maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And so with these time constraints, here's what he says. He says, what that requires, this is George Stephanopoulos. He says, what that requires is a strong sense of priorities. You have to really know, what is the one thing I have to get done today? What is the one thing I have to get out of this interview? All right, that's what you need to have. A strong sense of priorities. You have to really know, what is the one thing I have to get done today? What is the one thing I have to get out of this interview? Or he goes on, he's talking about meetings going off track or interviews going off track. And he says that if you have a sense of purpose, if you know the one thing that you really have to get done today, he says, you have to be willing immediately to jettison the 3 or 4 other questions you want to ask, but were not as important. I would also add, you need to be willing to jettison the 3 or 4 other talking points you wanted to get in. Like, jettison those. All right. Look, you know this about me. I love telling stories. You know that about me, right? Do you know how many stories I have not told in donor meetings that I really wanted to tell? He goes on, he's talking about, just like writers have to learn to not fall in love with every paragraph they write, interviewers need to learn to not fall in love with every question they think of. Do you know how many questions I have thought of in meetings that I have not asked? So when you have a time constraint, you have to think through harder what you need to talk about in that moment, what you need to achieve through this conversation. That's why discipline is so important. It really focuses your mind, focuses your attention on what's important. All right, that's Stephanopoulos. Sometimes you have to let go of questions to get to the heart of what you really want to talk about. So, all right, this is the one time, this is probably the first time you've ever heard me say this, right? You have to have the discipline to not ask certain strategic questions, to focus on the ones that you really have to ask. Managing the clock, he has a very obvious way of managing the clock, because he, in an interview, especially on live TV, he could say, "We're running up on time." And he'll use the clock to his advantage. You can do the same thing, right? You can say, "I realize you're busy," or like, "You probably have other things to get to, and we're not going to sit here all day talking. And I would be remiss if we were to spend this time together today and I didn't ask you this." So that keeps the meeting moving, keeps it focused. His section on body language is also really good. I use body language a lot. And I realized on a group coaching call recently that I probably don't talk about it enough on this podcast or enough with my clients, because it has a passing reference in my course, Peak Performance. But I realized on this call, like, wow, this is something people are interested in. And I loved George Stephanopoulos' stuff on body language. Lean back when you want to invite people to open up and talk. Lean in. I have this thing where I double back on my words to let the donor catch up. So when I want to transition the conversation, I'll lean in and double back on my words. Like, oh, I'm here today because I want to talk to you about this. The way you move your body can be as important or more important than the words that are being used. Hesitation, pauses, sighs, pay attention to all that stuff and use it. All right, silence. Now, in fundraising, like, you've probably heard, and I'm not going to get into the whole, like, ask. This isn't a podcast on asking today. But if I were to say, like, utilize silence, you probably think I'm talking about after you make the ask for the gift, there's silence. But you may ask a strategic question that is not an ask for a gift. You are just asking a strategic question. And there may be silence after you ask a strategic question. And you think they don't understand the question. And you want to rephrase it, or you want to ask a different question. And I would say, don't fill the silence. Like, we hear that all the time when asking for a gift, but I would encourage you, when you're asking strategic questions, don't fill the silence. Maybe they're just processing. Maybe they're trying to figure out, well, what's he asking? What is my answer to that? Let them process. Learn to be okay with the silence. All right, I'm going to stop there. There's so much in this masterclass, just like every single one I have gone through so far this year. And I've got several more I can't wait to get to. All right. That is all I have for you today. All right. I mentioned a slew of resources in this podcast. As always, if you're looking for a resource, email me. The email is clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. That's clark@majorgiftsfundraiser.com. I would love to hear from you. It is one of the great honors of my life. I mean this. It's one of the great honors of my life to have the honor, to have the opportunity to speak into your life and your career. So if you email me, I'm not going to be annoyed. I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to give thanks that I have this opportunity to serve you. All right, that's it. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
All right, Monica here again. If you like what you heard on this podcast, you'll love our online training programs. You can complete our online training programs at your own pace, and you can watch or listen to them from any device. And unlike that last conference you attended, the challenge questions and action steps that come with each of our modules will give you concrete things you can do today to level up as a fundraiser. You'll raise more money than ever before by developing deeper donor relationships than you ever thought possible. So head over to MajorGiftsFundraiser.com to buy now. Thanks for listening.